Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Dear gas prices, go take a hike. Toyota's hybrid lineup brings efficiency with power, savings with style, and tons of top tech. Think you can stand in our way? Think again. Toyota Hybrids. Toyota. Let's go places.
Is your internet keeping up? It's time to upgrade your home with Verizon Home Internet. With plans starting at just $25 a month and leave surprise price hikes and hidden fees behind. Get fast and reliable internet for an incredible price with Verizon. Ditch cable and switch to Verizon Home Internet. Starting at $25 a month with auto pay and select 5G mobile plans. Availability varies. Plans start at $25 a month when combined with existing select 5G mobile plans and auto pay and paper-free billing. Fios requires mobile and home discount enrollment. $99 Fios setup charge may apply. Visit Verizon.com/home to learn more about 5G home, LTE home, and Fios.
All right, welcome to the Bulls Talk Podcast, brought to you by Toyota in our virtual podcast studios, brought to you by, powered by PointsBet. There we go. I'm your host, Tony Gill, and along with me is Casey Johnson, and the NBA Finals are set, baby. Let's go. Game 7 just ended. Miami Heat take the dub over the Boston Celtics after the Celtics came back from an improbable 3-0 down just to lose at the crib where Miami got the Bob Cousy trophy and the Larry Bird trophy. That's got a sting. KC, all right, we're going to talk about the game. We're going to, the Bulls angles around it. But first, your early thoughts and impressions of this game.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to get into finals predictions too, but I think we should start with reactions to the game and then also tie it back to the Bulls, because I think there's a lesson in here for the Bulls if you look closely enough. But, I mean, how can you not be impressed? I mean, what you keep expecting to happen is this Heat three-point shooting to revert to the norm. They were the 25th ranked three-point shooting team in percentage during the regular season, and they're – 4 percentage points higher in the playoffs. Obviously, Caleb Martin is on a heater. He's on one, and Gabe Vincent isn't too far behind. So you keep expecting that 3-point shooting to revert, but it's not. And obviously, when you've got tough-minded leaders like Eric Spoelstra and Jimmy Butler, I'm not selling the rest of them short, but those are the two main figureheads in that department. Mm-hmm. You can accomplish a lot. So, incredibly impressive stuff to go on the road and win game 7, obviously.
I thought it was done for them after that game 6. Like, I thought like that was their shot to win it at home. They were up. All they had to do was box out because he knew the shot was going to be a tough shot in game 6. And when they got that tip in, I'm like, that was it. Like, how can you come back from that, right? But they went on the road and laid the smackdown on Boston, where it was close for a little bit, but not really, right? Like every time Boston tried to make a run, the crowd got tried to get into it. Miami would just pull up by 10. And if you're not looking at the score, you're looking at the crowd, you're like, oh man, Boston's really getting into it. The game was never really that close in terms of Miami losing the lead, it didn't stay that way. Miami pulled off, another, 10-point run or something like that. It was extremely impressive how they methodically picked apart, started their zone defense early, and it just shook Boston. Like they haven't seen the zone, and how to operate in it. And Boston, they couldn't make a three to save their lives.
They
could not hit it. I don't think they made a three almost the entire first half. It was crazy just how this game worked out, where Miami, they kept making threes. Caleb Martin, Gabe Vincent, kept shooting the threes and making them, and Boston, they just couldn't hit anything.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Heat were the better team, clearly. I mean, not only tonight, but throughout the series. I mean, obviously it looked when Boston wins three straight and going back home for game seven that Boston, you know, might hold serve. But to me, the Heat were the better team throughout the series, and they clearly were the better team tonight. I mean, obviously Boston impacted by Jason Tatum's getting injured on the first play of the game, first possession of the game. And being hobbled the rest of the way and playing through that. And then Jaylen Brown, man.
Woo.
I mean, people call Zach Brown a bad note in that game on April 14th. Man. I mean, that's a pretty sloppy night from Jaylen Brown with the 8 turnovers. So he were the better team, and they deserve all the credit. But I think the lesson I want to tie back into the Bulls is because it is pretty remarkable that it's been 6 weeks since that play-in game.
Yep.
And, I mean – I'm not saying like the Bulls are a better team than the Heat, but on that night, the Heat were primed for the taking. You have to remember, you have to go back to that week. They'd already lost a home play-in game to a very average
Atlanta
Hawks team on that Wednesday. And then the Bulls obviously have that late lead with, under 3 minutes or around the 3 minute mark before they go ice cold down the stretch over the Heat. And 6 weeks later, here the Heat are, second number 8 seed in NBA history to make it to the NBA Finals. But the lesson I hope that the Bulls take from this is they cannot be lulled into a false sense of security, like, oh, well, we should have won that game, we're right there. Because if the Bulls win that game, there is no way, my opinion, they were sitting here talking about a run to the NBA Finals like the Heat have gone on. So,
but KC, like they get them. We were saying that about the Heat.
What do you mean?
That there was no shot that they were going to beat Milwaukee. That there is, no shot that they were going to, beat Boston. Like, I'm just saying, like what some Bulls fans and supporters would say in that regard. That. Yeah, the Bulls were, that close, and they eventually end up losing to the Miami Heat. But we were saying the exact same thing, that it was impossible for Miami to do this.
Yeah, but they did it. And my point is, like, that. I hope what the Bulls take away is I hope they're not watching. Now, on the one hand, I understand the East is full of parity, and obviously you've got a lot of coaching changes now, so the top-heavy teams, Budenholzer's out, and Doc's out and Nick Nurse taking over in Philadelphia. So there is a lot of parity in the East. And I understand the Bulls, could get back in the playoff mix pretty quickly by next season. But I hope they're not watching this game going, oh, well, we had that team on the ropes, so we could be in the NBA Finals. Because that's the wrong approach. You're a long way away, in my opinion, and you have a lot of work to do. And they obviously need to nail some offseason moves this offseason. So that's the lesson I hope the Bulls take from this, and we'll see, obviously what kind of roster they field for next season.
Yeah, I think I 100% agree with you. It's like, it would be funny, right, where you come back to the press conferences, right, to begin training camp, and, they talk about, wherever happens to the Miami Heat in the finals, they made it, right? You come back, KC, and they started with their opening statements, like, we feel good about this team. We had the Eastern Conference champions right there on the ropes. So guess what? We're going to come back and do it again.
Yeah, but it is crazy because, the Bulls dominated that team in the regular season and then had them, like I said, on the ropes in that play-in game. Mm-hmm. But you can't just look at the way these teams are constructed. I mean, the Heat are, surrounding Jimmy Butler with shooters. I mean, with Caleb Martin and Gabe Vincent and Max Strus, and you got a athletic rim protecting center and Bam. So Bulls don't have any of that. So, I just hope that the Bulls aren't watching this, getting lulled into a sense of complacency, because I think they need to recognize that, even though they're probably not in as dire straits as some people may think that they are, and the East is filled with parity, they do have work to do, and they can't take that competitive loss in a play-in game and extrapolate it to, oh, we were almost in the finals. You can't do that.
I think if they're really being honest, if they even wanted to do the direct comparisons, Casey, between themselves and the Miami Heat, is your best player Jimmy Butler? Like, just be brutally honest. Is your best player, pick whoever one you want, is he Jimmy Butler? And you have to say no. Is Billy Donovan Eric Spoelstra, voted as one of the greatest coaches, you know, in NBA history? I will have to say no. Like, the culture also around it, the foundational culture of everybody takes their cool off when it's winning time. And I'm stealing that from, you know, Bulls pre and post game host Jason Goff. It's too many guys on this Bulls roster that refuse to take their cool off. Like, Jimmy is willing to do whatever it takes to win, literally whatever it takes. And I know a lot of NBA players say that, but DeMar DeRozan went on Paul George's podcast and said there's a lot of trash dudes in the NBA that don't love basketball, right? So if I'm listening to an NBA player that's a part of that group that recognizes that there aren't a lot of people in the NBA, why would I think the Bulls are excluded from that, considering how I know DeMar might not have been talking about his teammates in that aspect, but the way the season turned out for the Bulls is your inconsistencies, your inability to play hard every night showed up. That's what the Miami Heat does. And when it's winning time, they're ready to go. And if you want to do the direct comparison and try and convince yourself that the Bulls were in that game and could have done what Miami just did, you're lying to yourself.
They got a lot of work to do, but it is pretty remarkable. I mean, we should move it off the Bulls and get back to the Heat briefly. Just you know, only the second number 8 seed in NBA history to do this, and like I said, you know, squeaking into that 8 seed because, you know, they lose a home play-in game to Atlanta and then almost lose another home play-in game to the Bulls. So, man, what a run they've been on. And what do you think about their chances against the Nuggets? I mean, every time you keep counting them out, they've got another life to live. But I've got some thoughts. So where do you see this series going with the Nuggets?
So as the series in the Eastern Conference Finals went to 7 games, I was all on board with Miami to finish it up until game 6. And I was like, the better team, right, construction wise is in my opinion, it was the Boston Celtics. And I thought that they would have given the Nuggets a tougher run because of what Robert Williams does in the paint in terms of defensively, that he can be able to body up against Jokic a little bit better than I think Bam can. So for that case alone, I thought Boston would have been the better matchup. As much as I want to kind of continue this believe in Heat, you know, culture and stuff, the Denver Nuggets have been playing the best basketball in these playoffs for its entirety, entire time.
Yeah.
I have not once wavered that they weren't going to go to the NBA Finals. They were playing that well, that cohesive. I don't see Miami beating them in 7 games. I just don't see it. And you can mark this, fans, you can remember this. Tony Gale said it. If Miami, you know, by some crazy happening beats them, but I just don't see it, Casey. Like, the Nuggets are playing supreme basketball right now.
Yeah. Well, let's break it down. And also, we got a little breaking news here. We're taping this, as Tony said, post-game 7. Chris Haynes from TNT just reported that Tyler Hero is ramping up workouts and is going to target a possible return game 3 of the NBA Finals. So that would be obviously a huge boost for the Heat, although you'd have to wonder how limited he might be coming off that hand fracture. And quite frankly, I mean, obviously he's a dynamic, you know, 3-point shooter and scorer, but the way they've been shooting the 3 and even guys, you know, who weren't even playing, Duncan Robinson getting dusted off after not being in the rotation for weeks, and, you know, draining 3s. They've gotten a lot of contributions from a lot of different players, but obviously anybody could help. But let's break it out for a little bit. Nuggets won the season series 2-0. Nuggets have not lost at home in these playoffs. And, you know, the altitude to me is a legitimate thing. It's more a legitimate thing during the regular season because you're in there and out and you got to get acclimated pretty quickly. I mean, the fact that Miami will be getting there and getting acclimated to the altitude, it is something you feel. Players have told me consistently over the years, you know, early in games and then you kind of find your legs. But, you know, the Nuggets have been historically a good home team for a reason. And it's beyond the fact they have good teams. The altitude, I think, comes into play. So they have not lost at home in the playoffs. You know, the question mark, obviously, the cliche question mark is, are they going to have any rust? I mean, they have been off since, had this up, May 22nd. So they've been off for... They've been off a week already, and the finals start on Thursday. So they're not going to play the game for 10 days. Mm-hmm. So that is a question mark. Are they going to come out rusty? And then, as you mentioned, Tony, earlier, you know, you're going to probably see a lot of zone. The Heat like mixing things up. That may be one way you can try to thwart Jokic a little bit, although really no defense does. He's such a high IQ player and can really pass over the top of pretty much any defense you throw at him. But, you know, you're going to see Miami try to junk things up. We can get into some individual matchups in a bit, but what do you think about how Miami might defend them and whether or not their three-point shooting will ever revert to their mean?
I got to play it by what the numbers tell me. I don't think that's going to last.
Yeah.
Like, I have to. Like, and then by some miracle that it keeps going, you know, my old coach will say, bless him, you know, if they can continue to make those. But I don't know if when you have the best way to break up a zone, right? One is the three-point shooting, right? They're going to give up a lot of three-point shots. Can you make those three-point shots? That's one way to do it. Another way to do it is have a big man that is smart and stick him right in the middle of that zone and let him operate, because that's the soft spot of the zone. And who better to operate in that space in the NBA today than Nikola Jokic? So I think they will at least try it, because they have to. You got to throw everything in the kitchen sink at this Denver team, because they're better than Miami Heat. They're better than Miami Heat. So I assume they're going to try it. I don't know if it's going to stick, though. They may have to body up. They may have to be physical, play, you know, really slow 90s grinded out basketball, because I don't think that strategically where the – I'm doing the chess pieces in my head on where they fit – I haven't figured out the way that Miami can stop what Denver does on offense. Jokic is taking that next step of, I'm okay, everything's kind of breaking down, I'll take the shot. Like, yeah. We haven't seen this version of Jokic until this season, where he's realized, I got to take a more active and aggressive role shooting the basketball. And he's done it from the outside in, from the inside out. It hasn't mattered how you guarded him. He's doing one-legged fadeaways from the three-point line now. Like, he's been playing amazing, amazing basketball. He's virtually unguardable at this point. So I'm very much interested to see how Eric Spoelstra comes up with the tactic to maybe they just let him do all the scoring and just take away all his passing options. Maybe that's the choice. I don't know. I would like to see the options.
Yeah, the other question mark will be, you know, Aaron Gordon is probably their best defender. You assume he's going to be on Butler, but the way Caleb Martin is playing, do you maybe stick Gordon on Martin to start and put Michael Porter Jr. on Butler and just kind of, you know, let Jimmy kind of get his and try to shut off Martin a little bit, since he's been such a second weapon for them? I mean, these are things that'll probably have some twists and turns and maybe some adjustments throughout the series, but that's going to be another thing I'm going to be watching, at least for game one. Obviously, Jamal Murray's been on such a tear. Mm-hmm. Denver does not shoot a lot of threes. They were, I believe, 25th or 27th in three-point attempts during the season. So, you know, I don't think the three will be a make or break thing in this series, especially because I expect Miami at some point maybe to come back to earth a little bit. But man, you've nailed it. I mean, the Nuggets have been the best team in the playoffs by far. I was going to look up who has the number one offense in the playoffs real quick, but I just think it's going to be a tough task. And if we want to get into predictions, which we'll save for the very end, I'm going to go with Denver. I'll just tell you my number in a little bit.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Yeah, I mean, the fun part about this is again, like I mentioned earlier, the chess match that's going to happen. Like, you have a really, really, really smart coach in Eric Spoelstra with pieces that understand that they can move and maneuver, and then they will get the concept. Like, that's very hard to do, to have a team, especially a team with all these low draft picks and undrafted players, to get them to play at a very malleable way. Where it's like, all right, guys, this isn't working. Let's switch it up and have them quickly enact that in game. Like, it's one thing for the coach to understand. It's another thing when all the pieces understand what they're supposed to do and how they're supposed to do it. So I'm very, very much interested in seeing how Eric Spoelstra does that. But they thrive on being the underdog, right? Yeah. They know they're the underdog. They've been the underdog the whole time. So essentially, they have nothing to lose. And I think that almost fuels their fire. Is knowing, like, nobody's legacy here is on the line for them.
Yeah.
Right. Like all of this is cake from now. Like, they made it to the finals. They're the only second AC to do it in NBA history. This stuff doesn't happen, you know, often, especially in today's NBA where the players are more skilled than ever. You know, like, it's a really, really fun season of basketball that's happening right now. And I hope fans are appreciating what they're seeing on the basketball court, and it wasn't due to a lot of injuries,
right?
Like, you had the Tatum injury, but he still played.
Yeah,
and like Van Gundy mentioned, their second best scorer and Tyler Hero's been out the whole time, so it's no excuses at this point.
Yep. So Nuggets are the highest scoring team in the playoffs, and they also have the best offensive rating, by a lot. 119.7, and their defensive rating is 111.7, best net rating of 8, which is almost double the runner-up, which was the Celtics, with a net rating of plus 4.3. Heat are third with a net rating of plus 3.8. Their offensive rating also is third at 116.4 behind the Celtics. So these are the three best teams left. Mm-hmm. I do think the Celtics – might have been a slightly better matchup. I would probably agree with you just in terms of matchup. I mean, because they have so much score firepower on the wings, they would have caused some trouble for the Denver defenders on the wings, although Jaylen Brown did not have a good series. And then Jason Tatum's ankle would have been a question mark going into game one. So that's a moot point anyway. But, all right, prediction time before we get up out of here.
I want to talk about the Jaylen Brown. Before we get to predictions,
Hey, he's new Supermax, by the way. Are you?
Yeah.
For all you Bulls fans who are not happy with Zach LaVine's contract, about wrapping your head around $300 million for Jaylen Brown.
We did an episode just kind of workshopping that idea of what would it take to get Jaylen Brown. I know Jason Goff, and I don't mean to pin this on Jason because I was definitely interested in the idea of, okay, what does Jaylen Brown look like as a number one? And if we saw anything, right, we saw a dude, I mentioned on Twitter, he had the biggest He With Us game ever. With all the turnovers that he's had, this series, his shooting was just not good. I was wondering, like, is he hurt? That was my first question, but again, not on the injury report. I'm sure, you know, if it was, something will come up in the aftermath of this series, but yeah, man, that was a disappointing series for a guy that's due, or not due, but is up for a lot of money. And I was very interested, depending on how their season ended, would there be a trade possibility? But now it's like teams are looking at him like, man, do I really want to give up so much to center a team around him after the Tatum ankle injury happened in the beginning of the game. So you could have looked at him like, okay, I need to step up. I need to, you know, take this game over a little bit because my guy, the second or the next best guy on my team is hurting. I got to go out there and make something happen. And you just didn't see that button pushed by Jaylen Brown, and they suffered for it.
Well, he got off to a good start initially in the first quarter, but to your point, when they made that run in the third, when they pulled within eight and they were almost within six, they're running offense through Derek White. And that's pretty telling right there too. You know, the question about Jaylen Brown is, you know, there's obviously a lot of speculation about what Portland does with that number three pick. Do they make a run at him with that three pick, you know, to try to get a big name for Dame? Because, I mean, Boston's got a decision on their hands now. If he is traded, he does not get the Supermax. The Supermax can only be paid for by the team that you were drafted by, which is why Jimmy was so mad when the Bulls drafted him, among other reasons. Not just that, because he wanted to stay in Chicago as well and loved playing for the Bulls. But anyway, Boston's got a question on their hands now. I mean, do you pay that guy $300 million? I mean, that's what the Supermax is now. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of intrigue, as always, when a team's eliminated, especially, you know, a team that's favored and doesn't close out at home. So that'll be interesting to see where that goes.
Do you think the Bulls get in that conversation?
No, because, I mean, kind of they could maybe have a conversation, but – typically, those kind of deals are, you know, when star players are moved, what's in vogue, obviously, is a lot of draft picks, right? Mm-hmm. And the Bulls don't have that. So Portland would be dangling the three pick and, you know, a good young player and other salary to make it work, obviously. So, you know, I don't know what happens there, but I don't see the Bulls unless, I mean, I have to look at the numbers. I mean, mm-hmm. You do Zach for Jaylen straight up. To switch scenery. I mean, I don't know.
You're still having the same questions, you know, in terms of, you know, where both these teams are.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny because, you know, when I was watching Jaylen, like where my mind went to was April 14th, because obviously Zach, after having that brilliant game in Toronto to win mm-hmm. the first playing game, was very poor in the playing game against the Heat. And that's where my mind went. It's like, that's how mm-hmm. both these guys' seasons end. You know, Zach yep. with a poor shooting night, high turnover night. Jaylen Brown, poor shooting night, high mm-hmm. turnover night. And both teams' season ended. So that's where my mind went. So anyway. All right, prediction time. It's late. Yep. You know, we're knocking this pot out. I love it, though. You want me to go first or you? I don't care.
You go first. I'll do the read I'm supposed to do at the middle of the podcast. I'll do it before I give my prediction.
All right. You can do it now. Have a little suspense.
Oh, okay. All right. Cool. All right. Huddle up, guys, because it's time to feel the power with PointsBet. All right. With PointsBet Power Hour, you can get boosted odds or bonus bets every single day, whether you're into hoops or hockey, home runs or hole-in-ones, the power is in your hands. And new customers will receive up to $1,000 in second chance bets. That's 10 straight days of second chances where PointsBet will match your losing wager in bonus bets. Download the PointsBet app today using code SHYTALK10. All right, PointsBet, your moves.
All right, your move and my prediction. I'm going first. I'm going Nuggets in five. And I know that's a bold call, but I just feel multiple things lead to that conclusion. Nuggets clearly the best team in the playoffs. I don't see them having an answer for the Jokic-Murray situation. I mean, if you double one, the other one's wide open. And I really just feel like the Heat, and I know I've been saying this for a while, but I just feel like the Heat at some point have to they have earned everything they've got. I don't want to make it seem like this is a fluke, but they've had so many periods this season where they've just struggled to score offensively, and they are incredibly tough-minded, and they stay in games they're not supposed to stay in because of the way they're coached and the belief they have in each other and their toughness and their defense. But I just feel like when you're playing a team that's firing up this many cylinders offensively, has the best player in the game, or, you know, one on the short list for the best player in the game on the roster, and the Nuggets are so good at home, I see them holding serve at home, stealing one in Miami, and then closing out in game five back in Denver.
Yeah, I'm going to say Nuggets in four.
Wow. I thought mine was bold. I like it, Tony.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I think about this and have thought about this matchup for a while since Miami went up 3-0, I just don't see how you stop Jokic. If he's healthy and he doesn't stop himself, which he hasn't had to, right? There have been plenty of opportunities to kind of fold or, you know, be more passive in his aggression and what he does on the offensive end to kind of close out games, but he hasn't folded. He's come in this season, this playoff series, a different beast. And as much as Bam does on the defensive end for the Miami Heat, there's no way you get around Jokic and what he does. And those other players, there's KC, have you ever seen a team so perfectly rolled, right? Where Aaron Gordon is your third best player sometimes he's your fourth best player, and Michael Porter Jr. is your third or sometimes your fourth best player with a sprinkle of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope in there just to mix it up. Like, this is my question to you, KC. Have you ever seen a team more perfectly aligned in terms of their roles?
Well, I mean, I've seen teams. Yeah, I mean, I've seen other great teams too. But I mean, what I like about Denver is they don't rely on the three-point shot. Mm-hmm. They are such a beautiful team to watch in terms of their passing and their cutting. And obviously, Jokic to me is just breathtaking to watch because of his IQ and his ability to pick apart whatever defense is thrown at you. So I like them for that. They're not as formulaic as some teams in today's NBA because they don't take as many threes and they rely so much on passing and movement. So I like that brand of basketball. You know, the other thing we haven't mentioned real quick is, you know, the Nuggets bench, even though it's very short, like most benches are at this stage of the playoffs, has played very well. And that was a question mark going into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Jeff Green and Bruce Brown have both played very well for them. So, I just think it's their year, and it's going to be a great story because, you know, it's a new champion, one that's never won an NBA title before, and just kind of speaks to where the league is at right now with all this parity. So,
yeah, this is what the league wanted, right? I mean, not entirely, right? They prefer Lakers Celtics, but
it was.
So whoever had the script, you know, you're wrong. Miami and Denver make it to the NBA Finals. But yeah, Casey, I just don't see the Miami beating this team. One, it's going to be tough to get one in Denver. And two, all it takes is that one game where Denver in game three, where they're like, okay, we took their best punch in this game. We're the better team. We're going to close it out. So yeah, I got Nuggets in four on this one, but it's no disrespect to Miami Heat and Jimmy Butler and what they've accomplished. But I think their dream season, I think, runs out at the very end here.
All right. So we're in agreement and you're bolder than me. I like it, man.
Yeah. Thank you guys for checking out the Bulls Talk podcast, this late night edition. I'm going to try and turn this around like tonight as soon as possible so you guys can hear it either late tonight or on your way to work after Memorial Day weekend. I hope you guys stay safe out there and spend some time with your families. KC, where can the people find your work and what you got coming up next?
NBCSportsChicago.com. Have a mailbag on there that I did late last week. We also did the podcast version of the mailbag. So answering your questions and don't have much planned for this week because the Bulls aren't playing. So unless news breaks, then I'll obviously be on it. But not just going to be watching the finals and enjoying some basketball this week.
All right, looking forward to it. All right, guys, you can follow me on Twitter at TheTonyGill. We talk hoops, we talk everything. We just have fun. So join the fun. You can follow me there. You can follow KC at KCJHoop. We're going to catch you guys later in the week. We got a surprise special guest. So please stay tuned for that. We'll catch you guys next time. Peace.
No matter what you're a fan of, Texas has the trip for you. There's the trip to Texas and the trip. Or maybe you're the kind of fan who'd prefer a trip to Texas or a trip. Either way, go to traveltexas.com/getyourown for the only trip to Texas that matters. Yours.